Under his proposed two-year budget, Governor Paul LePage wants to end main care coverage for more than 3,000 methadone patients. They would still have the chance of continuing to pay for their medication out of pocket, or under the governor's plan, would switch to two other treatments that involve the opiate replacement drugs Suboxone and Vivitrol. Tonight, in part two of our series, State of Withdrawal, Susan Sharon takes a look at what the state hopes to accomplish and why many in the treatment community say it's a bad idea.
According to the Maine Department of Health and Human Services, there were just under 4,000 Maine Care clients receiving methadone in 2013, and just over 5,000 receiving Suboxone. Fewer than 300 were prescribed Vivitrol. Methadone costs much less than the other two medications, but it can only be prescribed in a federally approved clinic, and it has to be dispensed to the patient daily. So that year, DHHS says it spent almost as much transporting clients to methadone clinics in the state as it did on the treatment itself, about $15 million altogether. Compare that to the $11 million spent on Suboxone, which can be prescribed by a doctor and taken home in a 30-day supply, and you can see an emerging debate.
I think we can all agree that the ideal medical care is a comprehensive package where a person receives all of their care, the holistic package, through a single primary care provider.
Dr. Kevin Flanagan is the medical director at the Office of Maine Care Services. He says the state believes that it can achieve better outcomes for low-income addicts by switching them from methadone to Suboxone treatment, getting them a more complete range of medical services, and save money at the same time. About $2 million over the next 2 years.
It is not that much money. It is about getting these people the comprehensive services they need, because many of these members also suffer from other medical and behavioral health conditions. And again, once you get to where you can get the entire package of services at one location, well, the literature is unquestionable that there is going to be improved health outcomes.
There's no scientific basis to what he's doing, and it's not medically appropriate for probably the vast majority of people that he's trying to do that for.
Kim Johnson is the deputy director of Niatex, a research collaborative at the University of Wisconsin that works to increase access to treatment. She previously worked as the director of the Maine Office of Substance Abuse under Governors Angus King and John Baldacci. Johnson says some states, like Vermont and Rhode Island, are working to integrate primary care with treatment for opiate addiction. But they aren't doing it at the expense of methadone. In fact, Johnson says they're expanding access to methadone and Suboxone because they're the best treatments available and because she says patients need to have a choice.
People need to work with a physician to figure out what is the best treatment given their particular circumstances, just like you would with any other disease. You know, there's not one antibiotic. There's not one cancer treatment.
Specifically, there's the problem of dosing. Dr. James Berry, an addiction specialist at the Mercy Recovery Center in Westbrook, says Suboxone has a ceiling. It can't be prescribed in a high enough dosage to cover the needs of many methadone patients who tend to be long-term addicts.
First of all, it's difficult to transition patients from methadone to Suboxone. Methadone is a stronger opiate, and the doses that most patients with methadone maintenance are on do not translate over to any dose of Suboxone. We can admit them here and get them on Suboxone, but most of the time they don't do very well. They don't stick with the program. They tend to relapse.
As for Vivitrol, Barry says it's not widely available in Maine and only appropriate for a limited number of patients who can tolerate it. It's also expensive, about $1,000 for a once-a-month injection. The governor's proposed budget includes a $300,000 pilot program for Vivitrol. Larry Sexton, who works with addicts at Crisis and Counseling in Augusta, is a fan of the medication. He's treated about 100 patients with it over the past 5 years.
We've had very good success with it. For everybody that's completed the entire course of 6 months to a year and a half, I don't know of any that have relapsed at this point.
Sexton, who has also worked with methadone and Suboxone, is less enthusiastic about those opiate replacement drugs because of what he says is their potential for abuse. And while Governor LePage is now showing signs that he might be more interested in that treatment, Dr. Kevin Flanagan wants to make it clear that the state is not doing away with access to methadone treatment. It just doesn't want to pay for it.
For those members who suffer from addiction and are covered by MaineCare, if they choose to continue to receive methadone treatment services, they can do so, and they can pay direct to the methadone treatment center, whatever the sliding scale cost would be for them.
But even the cheapest of the three medication replacement therapies, methadone, costs about $90 a week. And treatment providers have already witnessed what happens when clients lose MaineCare. In January of last year, hundreds of people known as non-categoricals lost MaineCare insurance under a LePage administration directive. At Discovery House in Bangor, marketing director Brent Miller says 60 methadone patients were affected.
They could not bridge into the Affordable Care Act. It was too expensive, and there was no alternative ways in which they could continue their treatment on this disease.
Jennifer Minthorne, program director for Merrimack Medical Services, says it was the same story at other methadone clinics, where MaineCare recipients account for well over half of the clients. Merrimack runs methadone clinics in Portland and Lewiston and treats just under 500 patients.
You know, initially what they tried to do is they tried to do self-pay. The problem is, you know, these folks don't usually have high-paying jobs. And what we have found is, like, within the first couple of months, they just couldn't maintain that.
The loss was compounded by cuts to the MaineCare reimbursement rates for methadone and Suboxone providers, and by a move to increase the patient-counselor ratio at methadone clinics from 50 to 150, something those who work in recovery say is not recommended.
I just think this is kind of a, you know, a broad shot across the bow. You know, this is kind of more of the same, but this is much more drastic.
Gordon Smith is executive vice president of the Maine Medical Association, which advocates for both physicians and their patients. Smith says it would not be medically appropriate to move 3,000 methadone patients on MaineCare out of their preferred treatment and into Suboxone or something else.
These are people who are trying to get better. They are trying to get off drugs. Why would we punish them by taking away their treatment options when there are so few options available?
Dr. Kevin Flanagan of the Office of MaineCare points out that 17 other states do not provide insurance coverage for methadone or Suboxone. But at a time when states like Vermont and Massachusetts are expanding drug treatment, Flanagan acknowledges that he's not aware of any state that has chosen the treatment plan Maine is in the midst of crafting. For MPBN News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Tomorrow, we'll take a look at one of the biggest challenges of the state's plan, a shortage of Suboxone providers.